ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतेरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धर्मज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्को अधुनोदितः Hare Krishna, we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, entitled Mother Yashoda Binds Lord Krishna, Text 6. Sanjata Kopa Spurita Runadharam Sandasya Dadbhir Dadhimantha Bhajanam Bhitva Mrushashur Drushamadashmanaraho जघास हय्यङ्गवमन्तरं गतः सञ्जातकोपः स्फुरितारुणाधरम् सन्दश्य दद्भिर्दधिमन्थभाजनम् भित्वा मृषाश्रुर्दृशदश्मनारहो जघास हय्यङ्गवमन्तरं गतः सञ्जातकोपः स्फुरितारुणाधरम् सन्दश्य दद्भिर्दधिमन्थभाजनम् भित्वा मृषाश्रुर्दृशदश्पनारहो जघास हय्यङ्गवमन्तरं गतः Ladies, Sandasya Dadbhir Dadhimantha Bhajanam. Shvanaraho Jaghasa Hayyangava Mantaram Gataha. Word to word translation, please repeat. Sanjata Kopaha. In this way, Krishna being very angry. Spurita Arunadharam. Swollen reddish lips. Sandasha. Capturing. Dadbhihi. By his teeth. Dadhimantha Bhajanam. The pot in which yogurt was being churned. Bhitva, breaking, Mrusha Ashruhu, with false tears in the eyes, Drushadashmana, with a piece of stone, Rahaha, in a solitary place, Jaghasa, began to eat, Hayyangavam, the freshly churned butter, Antaram, within the room, Gataha, having gone. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya. Translation. Being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. Purport. It is natural that when a child becomes angry, he can begin crying with false tears in his eyes. So Krishna did this, and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, he broke the pot with a stone, entered a room, and began to eat the freshly churned butter. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially all the Śrīla Prabhupāda's disciples. This is my first time I'm coming here to LA, and given the chance to speak on Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, and I'm slightly not comfortable, nervous, I seek your blessings so that I can speak appropriately in glorification of Krishna, so that I can purify my heart. Our Pune temple President, His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, every time he gives the example of how a temple should be managed, he never fails to give the temple, LA temple's example, and especially the example of Swavas Prabhu. He was telling how we have to put the horse before the cart and not the cart before the horse, which means that we have to put spiritual potency before our management, and not management before the spiritual activities that we perform. And in appreciation to how Swavas Prabhu and all the senior Vaishnavas do it here, he very nicely describes the standards of morning program, the standards of book distribution, the intensity of maintaining the fire of Sankirtan within and without in the city. And this is why this place is also one of the sources of inspiration for us in Pune. And a few years back, 4 years back, we had the inauguration of our temple, for which some of you had come. It was inaugurated at the hands of the President of India, Pranav Mukherjee. And Pune Temple now has a community of about 175 brahmacharis and 5,000 couples connected to the temple by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. And recently in our book marathon, again, getting inspired by Vaisheshika Prabhu and San Jose model of doing book distribution, devotees have been trying their best to do. One of the services that we could do this time is Gita contests in schools, which got such a roaring response that we distributed 1 lakh Mahabig books in the marathon that we had. But frankly speaking, the source of inspiration and even the source of guidance for doing these services actually comes from places like this. In the Western world, it is even more difficult to even get one person to, you know, become convinced to practice. In India, it is not so difficult. But the way these devotees and these temples conduct themselves, sometimes they may not know. So I want to make a very outward point that what you practice here has an impact somewhere else. And it is very glorious as a service. So I thank everyone for this wonderful example setting and inspiring. Today, in this verse that we are studying, please repeat the translation. Being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a rasamalayam, abode of all wonderful rasas. Conditioned souls in this world are searching after, in short, rasa. Whatever we are doing in our life, why somebody establishes relationships with people, why somebody, nowadays gadgets are very prominent, people are trying to extract rasa out of the screen of a gadget. Or we also have the examples of people going for movies. Why do people go to movies? Because the movie directors are expert at producing the 12 kinds of rasas. Of course, they are perverted material rasas. There is Shantya, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. And then there is Hasya, Raudra, Bibhatsa, Bhayanaka, Karuna, Raudra. So all these secondary rasas and the primary rasas, the permutation combination of them, the way it is produced when you watch the movie, is what people are mad after. Unfortunately, this kind of seeking of rasa leads to two problems: thorough dissatisfaction and burning of the heart, and second, addiction, which keeps one bound to the karmic bondage that repeatedly accrues a person by cultivating such search. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam gives a positive alternative. How this drive that we have in our heart to relish varieties of rasas can be fulfilled purely in relationship with Krishna. And by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we can actually relish the spiritual rasas in relationship to Krishna in a pure manner. Cost free, no side effects, thorough relish. You know, in material life, when you go for a party, you pay so much money, and then there is so many side effects that you get into the body and the mind, and then it's conditional enjoyment. It just lasts for a bit of flickering time. But Srimad Bhagavatam, being a rasamalayam, offers us entrance into wonderful spiritual rasas, which, when properly learned how to relish, can actually make a living entity very thoroughly satisfied. The nature of material life is that there is satiation but no satisfaction. Like, you know, our drives for eating or sleeping, mating, When you do that activity, that urge for a while temporarily gets over, but the heart is not satisfied even after doing it. So there is satiation of the urge, but no satisfaction. And in spiritual life, there is satisfaction, but no satiation. One feels thoroughly satisfied with every Bhagavatam class that one hears, with every darshan that one has, with every Guru Puja and this wonderful singing, dancing that we do. But still, we think more. And this is how Srimad Bhagavatam gives us that option. Swadu swadu pade pade. Yat shrunvatam rasajnanam. Swadu swadu pade pade. Simply by submissive oral reception and practice of Bhagavat principles, one can experience great rasa at every step in one's life. In the Padyavali, an anthology of verses collected by Srila Rupa Goswami, there is a beautiful shloka. If you can, please repeat. Aho aho bhir nakaler viduyate sudha sudhara madhuram pade pade dine dine chandana chandra shitalam yasho yashoda tanayasya giyate. This verse means that by every passing of the day in Kali Yuga, aho aho bhir na kaler viduyate, a soul will not experience the distresses of Kali Yuga in his life. On the contrary, sudha sudhara madhuram pade pade, at every step in his life he will relish nectar as if pouring in huge quantity. Sudha, nectar, sudhara, pouring in huge quantity. Madhuram pade pade. Dine dine chandana chandra shitalam. The scorching heat of Kali Yuga will appear to this person like on his sandalwood paste anointed body, moonbeams are falling. Dine dine chandana chandra shitalam. For whom all this will happen? Yasho yashoda tanayasya giyate. One who sings the glories of darling of mother Yashoda, for such a person, yasho yashoda tanayasya giyate, all these things will happen in his life, even in the heat of Kali Yuga. So Bhagavatam gives many such analogies. Another one is that dvandvata patrat amruta abhivarshat. There is this umbrella of Krishna Katha. When opened, it does two things. It protects one from the scorching heat of dvandva, dualities of material world. And internally, that umbrella has a facility. Atapatra protects from dvandva and amruta abhivarshat. It pours nectar inside, in the umbrella. Bhagavatam says. So one can have that experience while associating with Srimad Bhagavatam, especially when that Srimad Bhagavatam comes from the lips of pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, in this verse, we have the description of Krishna's exchange of Vatsalya Rasa with Mother Yashoda. The more we relish Krishna's relationship with Mother Yashoda and Mother Yashoda's reciprocations with Krishna, we would not need anything else in this world. So, Bhagavatam offers one insight. Sanjata kopa, because of extreme anger. For what? For not being satisfied fully by Mother Yashoda in feeding breast milk. Spurita arunadharam, the reddish lips of Krishna were swollen in anger. I don't know whether you have seen people like this. When they become angry, their lips become big, swollen. And sandashya dadbhir dadhimantha bhajanam. With the teeth, dadbhir, sandashya, he bit his own lips. And what did he do? That dadhimantha bhajanam, the pot in which yogurt was being churned, bhitva, He took a small flint, a sharpened stone lying around somewhere. And the way Krishna hits it is, he doesn't make a big sound. If you hit it on the top, it makes big sound because there is empty space. So Krishna hits it at the bottom of the pot. Because when the pot is full, a clay pot is full, and you hit it at the bottom, it just doesn't make any sound. Sound engineering. So hits it at the bottom with the flint. Very intelligent boy. And as soon as it starts pouring out, because he thinks in his mind that when I am hungry, without caring for me being fed well, my mother is busy doing everything else in the household. What is the use of her churning this butter? So that's the mood. Break it. And then when he breaks the pot, suddenly he realizes that what have I done? There must have been huge amount of energy somebody must have put to do all this effort. And I'm spoiling it completely. Becomes afraid and he runs away from that place. So, Ashmana Raho, he, with a stone, when he breaks the pot and runs into a solitary place, Rahaha, in another room, Antaram Gataha, what does he do? Mrusha Ashru. He manifests false tears in the eyes. Now, children manifest false tears for many reasons. Number one reason is they are wanting attention. Simple as that. Huh? First thing. Second is that they want to express that I am not at fault. That's the mood. If you are coming and going to chastise me, I am not at fault. You see, these tears, that those tears are supposed to bring about some kindness in your heart, that there must be some suffering this boy has undergone which is unbearable for it. So in that mood. And third reason why children generally manifest false tears is obviously they are aware that I am being duplicitous. I am being political. I am being diplomatic. I am being very cunning in my activity. And they are aware of it. And in this way, Krishna goes in another solitary room and with false tears in his eyes, he starts eating little butter. Now slightly worried also of what is going to come up next from his mother. Prabhupada explains in the purport, it is natural that when a child becomes angry, he can begin crying with false tears in his eyes. Tears are real, not that there are false tears. But the mentality behind producing those tears is wrong. So Krishna did this and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, he broke the pot with a stone, entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter. So I won't touch upon the next verse because someone else may also want to relish that while explaining it. But at the same time, I would like to mention how is it possible that we can relish spiritual rasas while being contaminated materially in our consciousness. Because that is something relevant for all of us. How can we relish spiritual rasas when we study Bhagavatam, when we chant Hare Krishna, when we worship the deities, while we still have material contamination in our consciousness? So, Nectar of Instruction gives many insights into developing this relish. One of the verses that talks about the inability to relish in the conditioned state while one continues the activities of Vaidhi Bhakti, and then the immediate next verse talks about ability to relish all the spiritual rasas having overcome the mundane material consciousness or contamination. So this is verse 7th and 8th. Syat Krishna Nama Charita Disitapya Vidya Pitto Patapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kintva Daradanudinam Khalusaiva Jushta Swadvi Kramad Bhavatitad Gadamula Hantri. So, how can one relish? That's the question. So, Syat, it is so. Krishna Nama Charita Adi Sita. Sita means very juicy, tasty, relishable. Api avidya pitta upatapta rasana, tongue which is afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, na rochikanu. One cannot relish. Although these things are very sweet. It's something like somebody drinking sweet rice while having a plastic wrapper on his tongue. How frustrating that experience would be. So, avidya pitta upatapta rasana na rochikanu. One has no taste in relishing spiritual substances. So, kintu, however, adarat, with respect, anudinam khalu saiva jushta. One is fully dedicated in practicing these items of bhakti daily, anudinam. Swadvi kramad bhavati, gradual relish awakens, tad gada moola hantri, having destroyed the avidya at its root. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second verse itself, the qualification is given for studying or relishing spiritual rasa while we study Srimad Bhagavatam. In the verse Dharma Prochita Kaitavotra, in the translation, Prabhupada gives two words which are as such not there in the shloka. You know, Bhaktivedanta purports begin in the translation itself. They don't, so to say, wait. And sometimes people have an objection to that. They say, well, why Prabhupada does that? He should just remain faithful to the words that are there and just translate them as it is. Why does he add his own personal, you know, a bit into it? Our one devotee gives an interesting example why Prabhupada does that. In India, if you go into sugarcane fields, there are the jaggery making industries, cottage industries, in the field only. So the way they make jaggery from the sugarcane, there is a whole procedure there. Imagine there is a landlord who owns a jaggery, jaggery industry as well as a sugarcane field. Sitting in the sugarcane field, he is producing jaggery. Now some ex-person comes from outside, enters into this field, and he starts questioning this tenant or person on the field. Why are you producing jaggery? Why don't you produce alcohol? It's a bona fide product coming from the sugarcane. The reply would be, this field belongs to my father. And sitting here, I can produce what my father asks me to do. Who are you to come and poke your nose inside this business? In the same manner, Srila Prabhupada, being a loyal son of Krishna, is sitting in the field of Vedic literatures. And from the vast array of Vedic literatures, which are very complex, he is actually producing jaggery. The essence, which is very relishable for everyone. Mayavadi philosophers or mundane interpreters are compared to those outsiders who they have no right to enter into this field. And when they come inside, they cannot question a pure devotee, why are you doing what you are doing? It is what Krishna wants him to do. And therefore, there are two words in the Dharma Prochita translation. They are kind of connotation of the term Shushrusha. Dharma Prochita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tapatraya Unmulanam. What's the next line? Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrute Kimva Parairishwaraha Sadyo Rudi Avarudhya Tetra Krutibhihi Shushru Shubhis Tatkshanat. So for this word Shushrusha, Prabhupada gives two additional words in the translation. He says, by attentively and submissively hearing or serving Srimad Bhagavatam, the book and the person, the Supreme Lord becomes established in one's heart as an irrevocable fact. So that's the translation. Now when I read this, I was intrigued. Where does this attentively and submissively come from? You know, in the verse. So I really racked my brain to find that out. I couldn't. Maybe I'm wrong still. It is there in a literal way. But then I understood that Prabhupada is giving a purport to that word Shushrusha. Service. But what kind of service? Attentive and submissive. By such service to a person Bhagavatam and to a book Bhagavatam, Lord will become established in one's heart and then one can relish spiritual rasas. So let's analyze these two words more, attentively and submissively. What does that mean? To give a simple example, we daily recite the 10 offenses against the holy names. Can we do this exercise? All these 10 offenses, what are they talking about? To blaspheme a devotee, unsubmissive behavior. To treat Brahma, Shiva, anybody at par with Krishna or his name, it's unsubmissive behavior. To not follow the instructions of the spiritual master, unsubmissive behavior. If you go like that, all the 10 offenses deal with non-submission. All of them. And the 11th one says, and it is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. So which means the two major obstacles in relishing spiritual rasa when we chant is inattention and unsubmissiveness, disrespect. And the same applies to everything else. When we go for deity worship in the altar, are we attentive to giving pleasure to Krishna's senses? And are we submissive to the instructions of our spiritual master, the way he has ordered us to serve the deities? Are we following those instructions? So if you go in the scriptures, there are case studies in Srimad Bhagavatam of devotees who have undergone trouble in their spiritual life. And if you go to the root of that problem, where they underwent the trouble, it has either to do with unsubmission or it has to do with inattention in spiritual life. Any example in Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, we have the case of Bharat Maharaj. Exceptional submission to the process of bhakti, but slight inattention. Becoming attached to the deer. We have the case of Indra. When Brihaspati enters into the assembly, he was attentive to note he has entered, but he was unsubmissive. He did not want to offer due respect to his spiritual master. And then Bhagavatam has got, I don't know how many chapters of trouble of Indra being described, you know, after that, in his spiritual journey. And then we have the example of Ramachandra Puri in Chaitanya Charitamrit, the godbrother of Ishwara Puri, who would come to Jagannath Puri and find faults even with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there the interesting, in context of what we are discussing, point is that he was attentive to find faults and not submissive, not very respectful in his dealings towards Vaishnavas. And then he also underwent trouble. So if we look back into our own spiritual lives, we generally find, at least I find, that every time I have undergone some difficulties in Krishna consciousness, it had to do with these two things. I was either inattentive or I was not submissive in following what Guru and Krishna has told. And because of which the disturbance came. And therefore, the way to relish spiritual substances in contact with them, despite having material consciousness, is to try and be as respectful and as attentive as we can when we come in contact with them. And this is then reflected in the next verse of Nectar of Instruction. This is a beautiful verse.
Tannamarupacharitadi sukirtananu smrutyo kramena rasana manasi niyojya tishthan rajeta danuragi jananugami kalam naye dakhilam ityupadesha saram.
What is the essence of all advice? Rupa Goswami says, three things you must do if you want to become excellent in bhakti yoga. Mastery under a master, conducive learning environment, give yourself push, incremental push to make spiritual advancement. Let's see how these are there in this verse. He says, Tan nama rupa charita adi su kirtananu. How should you apply yourself? Su. Wholeheartedly. Give yourself to the chanting, dancing, feasting, hearing, serving. Su kirtananu. And following in the footsteps of previous acharyas.
smrutyo krameṇa rasana manasi niyojya. In this way, bring your tongue and your mind in following the process. Tishthan vraje, stay in an atmosphere like the Dwarka temple, where your bhakti can be well facilitated. Create facilities, environments, habits, lifestyle that is conducive to bhakti yoga. And then he says, tad anuragi jana anugami. Try to accomplish mastery under a master. Which means, become an expert in bhakti yoga by taking shelter of a pure devotee who is an expert spiritual master in training. So this is how Rupa Goswami gives us a clue how to develop spiritual tastes even after having contaminated consciousness. And in these verses that we are studying, one such rasa which is prominently present, Vatsalya rasa, becomes relishable to the degree we follow some of these basic tenets. Being attentive, submissive, having a master under whom we try and gain mastery in the science of bhakti yoga, creating conducive learning environments, and especially giving oneself push. Every day we have to outperform our own previous performance. We have no competition with anybody else in this world. You know, we have to simply do what we can and do better than what we did the day before. And by this simple process, Krishna consciousness becomes highly relishable. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or anyone would like to say anything? ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच